Amen. Did you enjoy that?
Amen.
Amen. Appreciate the Testerman family. I said it was the girls, but that little cutie over there on the far side just really didn't fit the bill so much, even though it was playing that pink bass. But I tell you what, they did a great job. We just appreciate y'all. Amen. And thank you all for coming and just at the last minute. Amen. Filling in. I'm glad we got an on-time God. Amen. And I'm glad he always provides. Amen. And I don't know, maybe these girls needed that tonight. Amen. Just some encouragement. I hope it was an encouragement to you to be here, because you was an encouragement to me in singing. Amen. I appreciate you. You know, we come in Sunday and back on our, in the vestibule over our board back there, seen something hanging. You know, I told Brother Steve I had to come over to church and get guitars out and stuff for these guys, trying to get them to sing something. And I said, about 10 of or so. I said, how about rounding them up and, you know, getting everybody head over towards the church? He said, see, still telling me what to do. Still, you know, stuff like a fiddle. But, you know, some things don't wear off, you know. And that works two ways, you know. We were sitting at home one night, minding our own business, when our doorbell rings, and here's this bunch of people from Porter's Grove Baptist Church saying, you're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. I wonder where they got that from. But we come in Sunday, and there's something hanging over our board back there. It's got this little sticker stuck up on it. It says, to the Grinch's Church from Santa. Amen. I don't know who that is. Don't know who they're talking about. She's not that bad. She really not. I mean, I've been with her for 40 years, and I've never seen that side of her. Hey, man. But we appreciate you folks from Porter's Grove, and I tell you what, it's just good being able to fellowship and get together like this. And over the years, we've got to know a lot of the folks from over that way, and, you know, the more we get to know of you, and then a part of us went there. Part of our heart went right there with you. But, you know, it found another part of our heart that was already there. Because Brother Joe and Sister Ellie were already there. Brother Benny and Sister Tara and their family were there. And many others that we know. But, you know, when you think about a man of God, you can look the Porter's Grove Baptist Church and you can find men of God. Amen. And I appreciate that. I like that. But I, one of the finest men of God I know, Brother Benny Johnson, we've asked him if he'd come tonight and just bring our New Year's message, just preparing us for this year to come and another time that God, if he tarries, is coming. Amen? Until midnight. Brother Benny, you come.
I do want to thank Brother Dennis for asking me to come and preach, and I guess it was maybe, I don't know, a couple months ago he had asked me, and before I tell you the scripture that we're going to, I've got to ask Porter's Grove something, if they know what our pastor preached on Sunday morning. If they know, I know Brother Joe, he's not going to know because he wasn't there. I'll let him off. But if anybody else, you don't have to speak up. But just in case you also know, if you don't remember, then I'll refresh your memory. In Joshua chapter 4, and when he, you know, I told him, I didn't tell him on Sunday, but I told him today when I saw him. I said, there's 66 books in the Bible, hundreds of chapters, thousands of verses, and you got to preach the verses that I was going to preach on New Year's Day or New Year's Eve, you know. And then didn't he do it once? But he did it twice. He did it Sunday morning and Sunday night. I thought, well, maybe I'll just skip it, you know. Maybe that had been on my mind for weeks, and I thought, well, maybe that was just for me, you know. Sometimes I believe us as preachers, sometimes, you know, we do some studying, it's just for me. Might not be for you, but it's for, you know, when I do it, sometimes I find out that that's not the message God wants, so it must have just been for me. But I couldn't get it off my mind, so If you would tonight, if you'd turn to Joshua chapter 4, and we'll read just a few verses there. And I know it won't be like Pastor Steve's message, because I can't preach like him. So I'll do my best to preach what God has given me here this evening. And again, I do thank Brother Dennis for asking me to come and you allowing me to be here. And we do love coming here. And I know Tara and Johnny and Megan would love to have been here. And they miss being here. They love coming. Just remember them in prayer, as they've already asked. But we'll start in verse 1 and just read a few verses there. And I've got several verses I want to look at here tonight. But in Joshua chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." We want to go to God in prayer, and I'll ask Brother Joe if he'd lead us in prayer, please. And as I was reading these verses and thinking about this, you know, and just a few thoughts here on these verses here, and I've got some other scriptures I want to look at. But, you know, there in that fifth verse, you know, and it said, take every man of you a stone upon his shoulder. And I thought about that, you know, of what Joshua was telling those men, you know, of the amount of effort that it may have taken for them to be able to accomplish what Joshua was telling them to do. And I believe sometimes in our life, it's going to take some effort to get some things done. You know, the devil, he'll put up every roadblock there is, especially if there's something that God wants us to do. There'll be every roadblock that can happen. Right. We'll end up being there. And I'm sure, you know, there was probably some roadblocks there. We know what they had went through before they got there, before they got to the Jordan. You know, and then there, you know, they had to take these stones over. And then you move on down to that verse 6, and it was for a purpose. You know, it says, what mean ye these stones, when the children would ask? You know, and for them to be able to have that as a memorial, that they could tell their children, their grandchildren, anyone else that came by, what these stones were for, and what God had did, what God had brought them through. And I thought about that some, and some of the things maybe that God has brought us through this year, maybe in past years, some battles that we had to go through, that God's allowed us to overcome, that the devil had tried to, you know, put in front of us. But I want to look over, and I thought about Joshua there, and over in Exodus, if you'll turn with me, and if you're able to, and turn to Exodus, the 17th chapter. And I thought about what Joshua, what he had learned, and where he had got that kind of wisdom. And I know it came from God, but he saw it from someone else. And when you read here in Exodus, the 17th chapter, and we'll start in the 8th verse and read several verses there. It says, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, Choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy and they took a stone and put under him. And he sat thereon and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hand." And as I was reading that and thinking about that, as Joshua was there fighting the battle, and as Moses had sent him out to do that, and as these other two men was with Moses, you know, all they did was hold up his hands. You know, I thought about that. You know, it seemed like a very simple task. I mean, you know, it wouldn't be very difficult, you know, to help somebody hold their hands up. You know, but sometimes I believe us as Christians, well, we don't want to lift anybody up. You know, as they were lifting up Moses, they were helping, they were assisting him. You know, he sat down. You know, and if somebody sits down, most of the time we're thinking They're probably finished doing whatever they're doing. But when Moses, they said his hands were weak and they would let down. They would get tired. But Aaron and Hur, they helped him hold them up. And God's people were able to prevail as Joshua and them were fighting that battle. You know, and I thought about that, and I thought, you know, what Joshua must have learned out of that. You know, and as you read on and see what Moses told Joshua, it says, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And listen to this here. It says, and the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book. And that seems, you know, kind of okay. You know, that wouldn't be any big deal. But then it goes on and says, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. You know, I thought about that, you know, and sometimes I know we like to talk about some things, and we like to maybe talk about some good things and sometimes talk about some bad things. But here God was telling Moses, you write this in a book and you rehearse it in Joshua's ears. Make sure this is burned into Joshua's ears, what we did here at this battle, what it took for us to win this battle. And I believe us as Christians, sometimes we need to rehearse some things that God has done for us. And I know some people say, well, you know, you can't live on yesterday's blessings, and you can't count on all those things. But I believe us as Christians, we got to remember how good our God is. You know, because the devil, he wants us to forget about what God did for us yesterday. That battle this year, that battle last year that maybe we were able to overcome. Maybe it was sin in our life. Maybe it was a family problem, whatever it may have been. You know, maybe it was financial, whatever it might have been, and we were able to overcome that. I believe we need to rehearse that in our mind, because I sure don't want you to make a New Year's resolution, but as we start this new year, if Lord willing, you know, there'll be times that the devil comes along and says, you need to forget about what God did for you, because he's not here now. That was then. This is now. You know, and I believe that's why that God told Moses, you rehearse this in Joshua's ears. He's going to need this. He's going to need to remember what we did at this battle and what it took for us to win this battle. As I got tired, as my body got weak, there was two other men that stepped in and said, well, we're not going to allow our army to be defeated, because as we can see, his hands go down, we start to get defeated. We hold his hands up, our army begins to win. And that's what God wanted them to do, and that was the way God wanted it done. Right. But just think if Aaron and Hur would have said, well, Moses, you know, you brought us up here, you said what you were going to do, and now you can't complete it. So you're on your own. You know, you shouldn't have never sent Joshua out there. And I'm thankful that we know that God wouldn't have did that to him. But sometimes we see those kind of things happen. Somebody may start to do something, they may get tired, maybe a great cause. And maybe all we need to do is step in just a little bit and help. Right. Hey, we just need to assist them a little bit. Right. And you know, I was thinking of your pastor here. You know, sometimes he just needs a little assistance. You know, he can't do it all on his own. Right. You know, and sometimes his arms might get weak. Right. You may need to hold him up. Yeah. You know, I know we look at the pastor and say they're supposed to be the strong one. They're supposed to be tough, and they're supposed to be able to handle all of it. But sometimes, you know, they may be having a little bit of a weak moment. They may need somebody to lift them up. Right. They may need somebody to just stand beside them and say, I'm right here with you. Right. As Aaron and Hur was there for Moses. Because I guarantee you, you know, Moses remembered what Aaron and Hur did. Right. And I guarantee you that God, and we know that God remembered it. Right. And if God wouldn't have counted it as a great a victory there, he wouldn't have said, rehearse this in Joshua's ears. Right. He would have said, well, you don't need to tell Joshua about what took place. You know, we just know we won the battle. He don't need to know what took place with you and Aaron and Hur. But I believe God told Moses, you write this down. Make sure that Joshua remembers this. And as I thought about that, you know, and we'll turn back to Joshua, we'll turn to the 24th chapter and see if I can find that real quick. I didn't mark that. But if you turn to Joshua 24, and as I thought about what took place in Joshua's life a few times, you know, and here's just one of them. In the 24th chapter, in the 14th verse, and it says there, now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. You know, and Joshua was talking to the people there, telling them what they needed to do. And then you go on and read what Joshua said. says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, and I believe as Moses rehearsed that in his mind, I believe he knew who God was. And I believe he trusted in God, and he was able to make statements like this. And I know he was able to perform them because God wouldn't have put him in here if Joshua wasn't able to perform what he wrote down there. But I believe it all started back there when Moses wrote those things down and rehearsed it in Joshua's ears. And I thought about that and just thought how great it is. Maybe, and as I said, maybe you've overcome something. And maybe it took great effort. And maybe it took someone else to assist you in it. And I believe if we can remember that some, I believe what a benefit it'll be to us when maybe times get really tough. And it may have been tough then, but the tough times aren't gone. We know they'll be back. We know the devil doesn't like us being able to do things, you know, and not have struggles at them. You know, he doesn't want us smooth sailing along, because when those kind of things start happening, that means he's really taking a beating. He wants us to have to take every effort we can. And sometimes we may have to stand as Joshua did there. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm not sure about what you guys are going to do. I hope you come along and serve the Lord. I believe that's what he was telling those people. I really want you to. But in case you're not, we're going to. Me and my house is going to serve the Lord. And if you can just think about that. And I thought about some more memorials. And if you can turn with me to 1 Kings. There is something that was rehearsed in someone's mind. There in 1 Kings in the 17th chapter. And I thought about Elijah there and what took place there in the drought that was going on and with the widow there in the 17th chapter. And I won't start all the way up in the beginning of this, but there when he went to the widow woman's house and had asked her to bake him a bread cake first, you know, and she told him, you know, the there's only just a little bit left. There's just enough. There's just enough for me and my son, and that's it. It's going to be gone. And I thought about someone that I guarantee you that they rehearsed some things in their mind after Elijah was there. And as you read this, y'all start in verse 13, and so just for the sake of time, and it says, and Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. You know, and I thought about that. You know, he could have said, just make a cake big enough for me and you. But he didn't say that. He said, make me a cake first. You know, I want you to make one for me. And then I'm going to eat that. And then you're going to go and make yourself one. And I know what I would be thinking. Well, there's only enough for one. So if I'm going to make one, that means somebody's not going to get it. And if I'm making it for you, Elijah, that means we're not going to get any. You know, but here, you know, as you look here, and it says there in that 15th verse, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and her house, she and he and her house did eat many days. And this verse 16, this is, I believe what every day when she went back to that meal barrel until the drought was over. And we know, you know, some people say, well, God don't do those kind of things now. He don't continue to supply every need we have. God's word tells us much different than that. He says he'll supply every need according to his riches in glory. You know, we say, well, he owns the cattle on the hill. He owns the hills, but he has trouble supplying my needs. You know, he just can't take care of what I have. You know, but as this verse 16 says, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. You know, I thought about that, you know, as I believe she rehearsed that in her mind. Every day she went back to that meal barrel, because it said it didn't run out. It may not have been full, but there was always enough for them for that day. Amen. You know, and I thought about that some. You know, maybe I don't have abundance. Maybe you don't have abundance, but there's always enough. Amen. God is always going to be enough. Amen. God tells us he will be enough. But many times we go searching for all those other things. You know, we don't follow God the way we should. We don't turn to him the way we should. We don't lean on him the way we should. We just go after all kinds of other things trying to supply our needs when the Lord tells us he will supply our needs. You know, and just a couple other verses. And in Mark, the 14th chapter, and as as the woman came there and anointed the feet of Jesus in the 14th chapter of Mark. And if you'll turn there with me, I mean, a great passage there and of what this woman did. And there again, I'm not going to read the whole thing, you know, but where she came and break the box of the precious ointment and anointed Jesus' feet. And then the people were complaining because she wasted it. You know, because why would you use that in such a way like that? You know, you could have used that for a much greater work. And sometimes some people might come to us and say, why are you giving all that to the church? Why are you giving all that time? Why are you putting forth all that effort to the church? Why don't you put some effort somewhere else? Somewhere it'd be beneficial. And I believe that's what they were telling. They were saying about this lady here, you know, that, you know, this could have been done for something else. This was a waste. You know, you wasted your energy and your ointment there on anointing his feet. But as you read this here in verse 5, it says, for it might, as they said that, and then it says, for it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. And listen to this last verse. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of her for a memorial of her. You know, and I thought about that, you know, as many times, I know you've heard messages on it. I've heard messages on it. You know, of what she did there as a memorial of her. We still talk about it. And I thought maybe what have I done that if somebody was still the Bible was still being written, what would they put in there? Would they put in there something about something that I did that brought honor and glory to God? Or would they put things in there and people would laugh about it and mock God? You know, I thought, and I know they're not still writing the Bible, and I'm sure not going to stand up here and say they are. But if they were still writing down things and it was still being brought out the way we bring out some of the things that are in the Bible, what would my life bring? What would your life bring? Amen. You know, would they mock God because of the way that I conducted myself? Would they mock God because of the way you conducted yourself? Or would they be able to have a memorial of things that we did for God that they could stand and say, this will be done for memorial of God because of the way they did what they did? And just before I close, if there is someone here that's lost, there's no other memorial better than thinking about the cross, thinking about the empty tomb, thinking about our Savior that came and died on a rugged cross and took the pain and took the sins that we needed to bear, but he bore them for us. For the penalty that we couldn't pay, he came. And then he rose from the dead and made a way of salvation. And that's what all these scriptures are about, all these that I read. They point right toward the Savior. They talk about men and women of God that was before us, but they all point towards Calvary. And tonight, before I close, you know, to point towards Calvary, you know, if there is one here that's lost, Jesus is standing there with open arms. He's wanting you. He's wanting you tonight to become one of his children. And if you're not saved, but please don't leave tonight. I beg you, you know, don't walk out the doors. As I was talking to brother before church, you know, he said, you know, when he got saved, he was the devil was telling him, move on out the doors. You'll be OK. You'll feel better outside. You know, you don't feel good in here right now. You need to move outside. You'll feel better. That's what the devil tells us when he doesn't want us to do something. You're in a strange area. You need to move somewhere else. You know, you'll feel better over there. But don't allow the devil to allow you to walk out the doors if you're not saved here tonight. And I'll turn it back over to Brother Dennison. Thank you.